From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A new movement of young people has taken climate activism to new heights. The Sunrise Movement garnered national attention a week after the midterm elections when hundreds of people engaged in a sit-in at the Washington, D.C. offices of Representative Nancy Pelosi. The activists, who were visited by newly elected New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, were demanding that Pelosi and other Democrats back what they call a Green New Deal. Following that, local chapters of the organization have been confronting their own elected representatives. For example, this week, Congresswoman Barbara Lee's office in California was inundated with activists wearing masks to protect themselves from the toxic fumes of the state's recent wildfires and demanding that Lee also co-sponsor the Green New Deal. My guest is William Lawrence, co-founder of the Sunrise Movement. Welcome to the program, William.
Thank you, Sonali. It's an honor to be here.
So tell me first about the action that took place at Nancy Pelosi's office. This was a week after the midterm elections. I understand about 200 people engaged in a sit-in. Several people were arrested. How did you lay the groundwork for that movement? Was this something that was planned in advance of the election?
Yes, absolutely. So we're just coming off of a huge election season for Sunrise, where we were working in politically significant states around the country to elect climate champions, all of them Democrats, to the House, to governor's races around the country, as well as to local races for state House and state Senate. We contacted over 250,000 voters in support of Democratic candidates this election cycle. But we knew all along that Democrats, frankly, have not risen to the challenge of the climate crisis. Up until now, no Democrat has introduced in the United States Congress any proposal that actually rises to the scale and scope of action that we need to avert catastrophic climate change on a scale that we can hardly even imagine. And so we knew that while we need to elect Democrats, because the Republican Party is an organized alliance between fossil fuel billionaires and white supremacists, we also have to push the Democrats to do as much as they can. And that's why we planned, even before Election Day, that we would be visiting Nancy Pelosi after Election Day.
What is the Green New Deal? How do you define this idea? I mean, there have been, of course, movements calling for climate justice for a long time, and it's sort of a vague phrase. What does a Green New Deal mean to you?
Yeah, so I would really recommend that everybody look at the resolution that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has introduced, because it's really quite a remarkable document. This resolution on a Green New Deal calls for complete 100% renewable energy by 2030, completely eliminating fossil fuel and global warming emissions from our agriculture and our transit systems by 2030. As well as going all the way in to ensure that the transition to a renewable economy is also equitable. This proposal, this resolution says that we have an opportunity to virtually eliminate poverty in the United States of America because of the scope of the work that is required to make this transition a reality. And we know that communities of color, rural communities, and post-industrial communities have been most impacted by the fossil fuel industry and by climate change as well. And so they must be centered for investment and inclusion in the transition. And that is also a key aspect of the Green New Deal.
So the New Deal part of the Green New Deal, I'm assuming, is purposefully hearkening back to the New Deal, which is essentially this massive government-led jobs program that came out of the Great Depression, or that was essentially a path out of the Great Depression. So we're talking about something that a lot of lawmakers would vilify as socialist. You know, government's not in the in the position of handing out jobs. But of course, the U.S. has a history with the New Deal and the Works Program. And so are you sort of reminding people of that history?
Absolutely. The point here is that This is a common sense proposal. We have hundreds of millions of lives worldwide that are at stake because of the threat of runaway climate change. And we know what we need to do to stop this. We need to overhaul our energy system, our food system, and our transit system. And the only way to do that in time is for the government to take an active role in the economy to shape and guide the transition. And that's exactly how we got ourselves out of the Great Depression. That's exactly how we were able to mobilize our economy to win World War II and defeat the existential threat of fascism. And we can do it again to meet this challenge we face in the 21st century.
So Nancy Pelosi, in response to the sit-in that took place at her office a week ago, put out a statement saying that she it was sort of a supportive statement, and she wanted to create a select committee. She basically said this is why we need a select committee in Congress to deal with the issue of climate change. How do you assess her response?
Encouraged by the response from Leader Pelosi, because we absolutely do need a select committee. And we've seen that in saying that, she's going farther than many other Democratic members of the House who essentially want to say that the existing committee structure, they've got this, which is absolutely bogus because we've had the existing committee structure longer than I've been alive, and we haven't seen action at the scale we need. However, it remains to be seen how ambitious Pelosi intends to go with her select committee, and which is why we're continuing to pressure her and all of the Democratic leadership to back the select committee on a Green New Deal as outlined by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So Pelosi wants to create a committee on climate change. That's great. We need to make sure it has real teeth, real ambition, and a real mandate.
I want to play a video of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. This was where she addressed the Sunrise Movement activists that were gathered in Pelosi's office last week. She paid a visit to the people engaged in a sit-in, and this is what she had to say.
I just want to let you all know how proud I am of each and every single one of you for putting yourselves and your bodies and everything on the line to make sure that we save our planet, our generation, and our future. It's so incredibly important. I've shared with you all, and I've shared my story that my journey here started at Standing Rock. And it started with everyday people doing exactly what you all were doing too.
You know what, one of the things that I admire so much about Leader Pelosi is that she comes from a space of activism and organizing. And so I think that she really appreciates civic engagement. And really what I'm here to do is just to support the folks who are here. This is an encouragement of her. And this is to show that we're here to back up.
That is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez speaking to activists involved with the Sunrise Movement. Last week, they were engaged in a sit-in. And after she spoke with the activists, she spoke to press talking about supporting Speaker, possibly future Speaker Pelosi. And I'm curious, William, did you coordinate with Ocasio-Cortez about the sit-in? Or so is it that your organization has set the agenda that she's backing, or that you've been working with her to put this forward?
She became aware over the weekend that we were planning to do this event on Tuesday. And we had a training, a summit in Washington, D.C. on Monday in preparation for our sit-in on Tuesday. And she and Rashida Tlaib, who's also a newly elected representative from Detroit, both came and visited us on Monday night. And they were so inspired by the energy and the conviction that Sunrise members were bringing that they both showed up again the next day. Rashida rallied with us in the morning before we walked into the House offices. And then Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez joined us. And, you know, we also became aware shortly before the event itself that she was planning to introduce this resolution on a Green New Deal, which was tremendously exciting for us because we've been campaigning around these ideas and popularizing them among the public. But to have a congressperson who is willing to introduce these ideas without watering them down one bit inside the halls of Congress, it has just been the most energizing thing we could have imagined. So we're just so appreciative to her for her leadership and her courage in taking this big risk to stand alongside us and pick a big fight in her first week in Washington, D.C. And I think we've seen that it's already changed the conversation in ways that none of us could have imagined.
You know, there's so much cynicism in our country, and justifiably so, about elections and participating in elections and whether voting actually matters. But we're seeing now that sometimes all it can take is electing one person who's bold enough to do the right thing to push the agenda forward. And in this new Congress that we're going to have, there's a number of bold new progressive Democrats. I mean, of course, there are a handful out of 435, but they do have the potential to be leaders on this. Let's talk about what's happening in the Bay Area. California, of course, where we are based, has been racked with devastating wildfires. I mean, it's just staggering to think about what has happened in our state. Hundreds of people still missing, at least 80 people, more than 80 dead if you count all of the fires. The town of Paradise completely devastated and wiped out, and the air is so bad that people are basically advised to stay indoors. And yet some people braved the bad air to go to one of the most progressive congresswomen's offices, Barbara Lee, and demand that she back a Green New Deal. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, our hearts go out. My heart goes out to everybody who has been impacted by the fires in California, and which I know is essentially everyone. I know that at our Sunrise Bay Area meeting last night, I heard that, you know, there was a hands raised for whose family has been impacted by the fires. About half the hands went up, and who knows somebody who has been impacted or has had to flee the fires, and every hand went up. So I think this is a big part of why we're experiencing such urgency in this moment, because the scenes are truly apocalyptic. People have been burned alive, trying to flee, and entire communities, livelihoods, and families have been lost. And it's just a tragedy, but it's a tragedy that we saw coming. And we know that it's just going to be more and more and more in this, if our elected officials cannot find the courage to demand real action. And that courage has been lacking. And so this morning, our crew in the Bay Area went to visit Barbara Lee. I know they're going to visit Pelosi again, and saying, look, we love you folks. We respect you. You have been progressive champions, especially Barbara Lee, for many years on so many issues. But that doesn't mean you get a pass on this. You have to show up right now. There's a political opening to back a Green New Deal, which for the first time is speaking openly about the scale of the action that we need. For the first time, we have a political opportunity to really do something about climate change in this country, and we cannot miss the moment. And that's what's most important right now for every member of Congress, including those who are our champions. And if they take a risk by supporting this resolution, we are going to have their back. And that's the message we've been sending to every elected official around the country.
I mean, we don't have much time left to solve this problem, right? Especially young folks. Tell us about how this movement, you're the co-founder of the Sunrise Movement, how much of a role young people are playing in this. It's young folks whose futures are most at stake.
Yeah, I think we're tired of being lectured to by 60 and 70 and 80 year old elected officials about the best way to go about this when they've been going about it for their entire lives, for our entire lives, and we haven't seen any kind of action. The IPCC says that we have 12 years to cut our carbon dioxide and fossil fuel emissions in half in this country if we are to stay below the 1.5 degree limit, which would mean catastrophic warming around the entire planet. 12 years. And they want to tell us that we should just keep going about it in the same sort of gradual way that they have. No, we're done with that. And I'll just say, as a young person, I am terrified for my future. And I know that my friends are terrified for their futures. We young people question whether we should have kids because we wonder about the world that we'll be bringing them into. We wonder about whether it's worth saving for retirement because we don't believe that there will be a organized society to retire into. These are the conversations that we have when we're just sitting around. And we're bringing that fear and that anger at the inaction of our congresspeople, but also the glimmer of a hope that we have to hope because we have no choice other than to hope. We're bringing that all into the political arena right now.
There's a young 15-year-old named Ananya in New Jersey who says she's part of the Sunrise Movement, and she has tweeted this video that we want to play to her representative in New Jersey, Tom Malinowski.
Hi, my name is Ananya. I'm 15 years old and I'm from Mount Olive, New Jersey. I'm calling on you, Representative Tom Malinowski, because I want you to stand up with the young people of Sunrise Movement and support Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's proposal for a select committee on a Green New Deal. I worked so hard on your campaign all summer and all fall, knocking on doors, talking to voters, to make sure that you got in office, because I really believe in what you stand for. You have an amazing policy about not accepting corporate money, and that's so exciting to see from a leader. I'm so grateful to have you representing us in Congress. But I'm also so scared about what climate change is going to mean for my future. My generation is going to be impacted for the rest of our lives because of this. We're making this a priority now because we can't afford any more inaction. For too long, fossil fuel executives have influenced politics with their money, and we're not going to stand up for that anymore. We're taking massive action, and we need the policy solutions to create that real transformative change that we need. I know you support clean energy, and you support the voices of young people, and I just want you to side with us and in support of the Green New Deal. Thank you.
And that is 15-year-old Ananya in New Jersey tweeting a message to her representative, Tom Malinowski, whose campaign she worked on over the summer. It's really heartening. You know, the issue of climate change is so depressing, William, for people who just feel like there's such huge forces arrayed against us. One of the messages that I particularly liked about that people were showing on their signs and asking lawmakers is, what's your plan? And I think that's a really critical one. So to putting lawmakers on the defensive, to ask them, what did you have in store for us? What is your plan to take this on? And of course, probably the answer is most of them don't have a plan, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, not only do they not have a plan, they don't have a plan to make a plan. We visited Representative Frank Pallone from New Jersey on Friday because he came out over the week in opposition to any form of select committee on climate change. And it was really quite remarkable to hear him try to describe himself as an ally to us because he voted for the cap and trade bill in 2009. And because he has made statements supportive of climate action. When we see that he has taken in the last election cycle, over the course of his career, hundreds of thousands of dollars from fossil fuel companies. And he denied to our face that he had done that or tried to quibble about it when it's all out there on open secrets. We're young people. We know how to use the internet. We can see who's donating to your campaigns, and it's the same people who are profiting from climate change. And then he wants to call himself our ally. So you'll forgive us if we're a little bit skeptical about that. But absolutely, we're not asking for action overnight. We know that we are not going to pass anything until 2021 when we have Trump out of office and hopefully we have a more favorable breakdown in the Senate. But now that the Democrats hold the House, it is absolutely imperative that they use the full powers of the House to investigate and make a plan that will actually be ready to go in 2021, because we don't have time. We have 12 years to get this done, which means overhauling our entire economy, and there's not a moment to spare.
William, I'm wondering what you make of the battle that is appearing to be breaking out between some of the newer, younger members of the House, the newly elected members of the House, the more progressive members of the House, and the old guard, if you will, the establishment Democrats, over who will be the House Speaker next year. Now, Nancy Pelosi has been the House Speaker in the past when the Democrats held a majority. She was the first female House Speaker. Many people have been throwing their weight behind her leadership, including some progressives like John Lewis and some members of the Congressional Black Caucus. Others say it's time for a change. And all of this, of course, can have an impact on the issue of whether a Green New Deal gets prioritized or not. What are your thoughts on this battle?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've seen in recent days that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez issued a sort of conditional statement of support for Pelosi as Speaker. We've seen the Congressional Progressive Caucus get behind Pelosi as Speaker. And I think that reflects that there isn't a progressive alternative to her at this time. And the people who are challenging her are actually coming from the right. They're corporate funded Democrats who are think that she is too progressive. And that's where the main opposition is coming from. So I want to be open-eyed about that. Which isn't to say that Pelosi is off the hook as far as we're concerned, because she still hasn't backed this committee at the ambition that we need. She hasn't done enough on climate change in her time as Speaker, and we want to stay focused on that while also being clear that it's not as if the challenge to her right now is coming from people who want to be more ambitious on these issues. They want to be less ambitious, if anything, because they're even more bought than some other members of Congress. So we think we can walk and chew gum at the same time on this, while being open-eyed about the choices that are in front of us, while continuing to push everybody and keeping the message focused on the fact that none of these folks, except for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the 10 other members of Congress, including John Lewis, who have endorsed her proposal for the Select Committee, are really taking this issue with the seriousness it deserves.
Now, William, you and I are talking on Tuesday. I understand this is a day of a national action taking place around the country. Hundreds of events, more than 350 events targeting Democrats. This is interesting because for progressive movements, unfortunately, we've often been too afraid to target Democrats from the left and have instead gone after Republicans. Do you think that this strategy of going after Democrats is going to bear greater fruit?
Absolutely. The Democratic Party is the only place where we have any leverage at all. I said it before, the Republican Party is an organized alliance between fossil fuel billionaires like the Koch brothers and white supremacists like Steve Bannon and Ron DeSantis, and the list goes on. And they do not care one bit for the idea of democracy, and they are actively dismantling every piece of our civil liberties and our freedoms that we have fought and people have died for over the course of this country's history. We are not confused about that in the slightest. And in the Democratic Party, we have a party that, while still hindered by corporate influence from fossil fuels and many other directions, is the only party where actual people organized can exert their leverage through the political process. And so we need to wage the battle within the Democratic Party to hold Democrats to their highest ideals and fight for ourselves to have real power in the party. And I think we're seeing this week what is possible when we have people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Rashida Tlaib and others who actually are accountable to and are members of progressive social movements. We find ourselves in a position of a lot more power and a lot more leverage.
Give out a website where people can find out more about the Sunrise Movement and join your organization if they're excited about what you're doing.
Absolutely. You can find us at sunrisemovement.org. And you can find us on Twitter or Instagram at SunriseMVMT. That's SunriseMVMT on Twitter or Instagram. And we're also on Facebook.
I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Sonali. It's a pleasure.
William Lawrence is co-founder of the Sunrise Movement. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram at RU with Sonali.